Intelligence. "You've had a long day," said Frankenheimer.
"So have you," Aditi replied.
They were sitting together at a table in the small dining room on the ground floor of the building where Frankenheimer and his team had set up their equipment. Between them, the crumbs and crusts of their dinners lay on a clutter of plates. Their glasses were nearly empty. The room was deserted except for the two of them. Robots had placed the chairs on the tops of all the other tables and wet vacuumed the rest of the floor. Now a single robot stood by the door to the kitchen, silently waiting for them to leave. Frankenheimer smiled tiredly. It made his roundish face look like a teenage boy, Aditi thought.
"A long day," he said, "but a very successful one."
"You've confirmed the measurement?"
"More than 75,000 times the speed of light," he said, awe in his voice. 75,000 times faster than light. That's how fast your communications travel."
Nodding, Aditi said,
"Back on Earth, one of the physicists told me that once you break through the light-speed barrier, there's no physical limit to how fast information can be transmitted."
75,000,
Frankenheimer repeated as he reached for his wine glass. He drained it, put it down on the tabletop with a thump, then pushed his chair back and got to his feet, a trifle unsteadily.
"I don't know about you, ma'am, but I'm going to sleep. Tomorrow we repeat the test and see if we get the same results."
Aditi rose also, smiling as she said,
"Good night, then."
"Good night."
And he toddled off, leaving Aditi alone. She watched him go, then turned and said to the robot standing patiently by the wall,
"You can clean up now."
The robot stirred to life and trundled toward the table. Aditi headed for the door and her own bedroom on the top floor of the building.
"Time to call Jordan," she said to herself.
Jordan had nearly drowsed off when he heard Aditi whispering his name.
"Are you there?"
he whispered back. He looked sharply at the passenger next to him. She was deeply asleep. Good, he thought.
"I'm here, dearest."
And Aditi's image took form in the smart glasses he was wearing.
"Where are you?"
"In the habitat. Frankenheimer and his staff have commandeered a whole building to conduct their experiments. But where are you?"
"In a shuttle rocket, heading toward you."
"Really?"
The delight in her voice thrilled Jordan.
"Really," he said.
"How soon? When will you get here?"
"We're scheduled to dock at 10 in the morning, your time."
"Wonderful."
"But it's a very large habitat. I need to know exactly where you are."
Aditi's smile thinned.
"By 10 a.m. we'll be doing more tests of the communicator that Frankenheimer has built. I'll try to include you into the receiving loop."
"You can do that?"
"I think so. I'll try."
"Then I can track you," Jordan said.
"Yes, right."
"If not, I'll tear down the whole habitat until I find you."
She laughed.
"You're bringing an army with you?"
"Three men."
"I don't think that will be enough."
Glancing at the woman sleeping beside him once again, Jordan asked, "How many security people are guarding you?"
"Only a few," said Aditi. "Not more than six, I think. They believe that keeping me on this habitat so far from Earth is good enough protection."
"Not for long," Jordan promised.
Rodolfo Castiglione was not accustomed to being rebuffed. To begin with, he chose his women carefully. Like a shark searching for prey, he sensed the inner vibrations of a woman who was vulnerable to his charm. Old or young, rich or poor, as long as they were physically desirable, he knew he could put up with their emotional quirks and demands. After all, these encounters were not intended to last long. Ships that pass in the night, he thought, or fish that feed the prowling shark. Yet this alien woman had rebuffed him in no uncertain terms. His cheek still stung from the memory of the slap she had given him. His pride stung still more. "Well, it's been long enough," he thought. "I've escorted her here to the dismal space habitat. I've been the perfect gentleman. While she's been spending her days with Dr. Frankenheimer and his geeks, I've allowed her to spend her nights alone. An interesting woman. No matter how we bug her quarters, within a minute of her entering the rooms, all the sensors go dead. A pity. It would have been interesting to watch her shower and prepare for bed, perhaps even informative. Tomorrow night I shall try again. I will be pleasant and witty. She must be lonely. I will console her. I will tell her that I am lonely too. I will ask her out to dinner.
take her to the finest restaurant in this dreary space settlement. There must be a place that doesn't specialize in that overspiced Indian cuisine. A nice Italian restaurant, or even a French one. We will drink wine. We will be friends, two lonely souls cast away far from home. I will make her mine, one way or the other. I will remove the memory of that slap. He smiled inwardly. The shark is circling its prey, he thought, and coming closer with each circle.